Are you tired of the endless supply of terrible storytelling? Of uninspiring, nihilistic stories that permeate most of modern-day entertainment? Are you tired of the diversity, equality, and inclusion standards that are forced upon movie creators and actors? Well, so are we. So go with us on a journey as we chronicle for you the latest news in entertainment, as we discuss the good, the bad, and the ugly of the film industry, and as we pave a way forward to see the kingdom of Christ grow and the dragon of secularism meet its end. If you want to support us in our mission, head over to patreon.com/thepowellbros, or follow the link in the show notes. There you will gain access to our exclusive show, The Powell Bros Mini Reviews, as well as early access to both Movie Chronicles and Movie Reviews. Now, on with the show.
All right. Welcome to Movie Chronicles with the Powell Bros. I am one of your hosts, Tobias Powell. Glad to be back again. I took another week off. Well, we both took a week off. I was off filming again, and yeah, we got some exciting stuff coming for you guys. We keep making these promises. We promise it will come eventually. You just got to be patient.
Do you want to divulge anything? You want to give a little nugget? Like, hey, this is kind of something we're working on.
Yeah, we're working on making a documentary. Yeah, we're making a documentary. We are interviewing a few influential people. We've interviewed Andrew Isker, Joshua Hames, and
Joel Levin.
Joel Levin himself.
Yes.
Had a little brain fart there. But anyway, yeah, we're interviewing those guys, and we have a few other guys that we're going to be interviewing. I'll release information as we come along. Don't want to give any false promises to anybody, but yeah, we've interviewed them for our documentary, and you might see a theme with the people we're interviewing, so you might be able to figure out what we're making. I mean, I kind of act like it's a secret, but it's not really a secret. I mean, we have our movie, all the pre-production information not the pre-production. We have all the information on the film on IMDb, so it's out there.
There you go. Check it out.
Yeah, definitely.
Fearless Wandering Productions.
Yep, Fearless Wandering Productions. You can search it up. I think I'll just hold off on the title for now. It's out there. You can find it. But for some reason, digging. I don't want to say it as of yet. I feel like it's too early.
That's fair.
But it's not really too early. It's just, I don't know.
It's early.
We're working on that, and so we've been filming that. I've been traveling a lot for that, traveling to all these guys to interview them, and it's been really fun. So thank you for your patience as we've taken weeks off and had some odd weeks here and there. For the next month should be pretty normal. And then end of April be a little another gap there.
Yeah,
we'll have a dark week, but yeah, other than that, it's been fun. Trent, how are you doing?
Doing great. Yeah, I mean, I've been busy with other things, just life in general, but definitely excited to be back on here and do some discussing of what's been going on and kind of back into the swing of things. So,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, Tobias, you got any crazy news? I mean, we're not going to cover everything that we've missed because there's been a lot, but I think it's definitely some things that we can tackle. I don't know if you saw, but I named our X spaces the state of Hollywood in 2025, just because there's a lot of things that we're seeing that are evident of where Hollywood's at, and spoiler alert, it's not in a good place, not going anywhere, and it's just been an interesting few months to start off the year. Yeah. So,
yeah, but, for sure. We got quite a big trailer dump these last couple weeks. I don't know if you've kind of noticed it.
Yeah, a little bit. We're getting close to summer releases.
Five movie trailers that I'm of movies to talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want to tackle any of those?
Yeah, sure. I'll just start at the top of my list of ones that I've seen. Happy Gilmore 2. We saw a trailer for that. I mean,
what do you think?
I don't have a whole lot to say on it. I mean, it's a legacy sequel is all it is. We get a lot of callbacks. I don't remember the name of a lot of these characters, but
right.
The one that Ben Stiller plays, he popped up in there.
Yeah, the nursery home.
Yeah.
The nurse dude.
Yeah.
The old folks home. The senior home. Yeah.
Yep. And then I can't remember the name of the main bad guy, quote unquote bad guy in the first one.
Shooter?
But,
is it Shooter?
Maybe. Don't know. It's been way too long since I've seen it.
Yeah.
But yeah, he popped in there like very briefly.
Yeah, well, he'll definitely be probably the main antagonist, I would assume.
Yeah.
Or maybe I can't even remember the trailer now if there was like a antagonist or it was just a teaser.
Mm-hmm.
Trailer, but
right.
Yeah. Or it'll be like a redemption story, like Cobra Kai. That's kind of popular.
Mm-hmm.
Give the villain a redemption arc, which I mean,
right.
I haven't seen Cobra Kai, but I've heard they do it well there. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
no for idea. Sure.
It'll be an interesting one. It's coming out only on Netflix. So right. That's odd, sort of. I mean,
it's Adam Sandler. He has a contract with Netflix, and
yeah,
they're just like, hey, you know. Do you want to make something original, or do you want to make a sequel to your probably your most popular movie? Well, let's do that. Bring all your old buddies back and have some fun.
Yeah. Yep.
Though Adam Sandler, he's got me getting old. I'm surprised he can still do the Happy Gilmore shot.
Yeah. That's true. That's funny. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was going to say, like, similar to the first one, it brings in a lot of current golfers that are, you know, big in the golfing world on the PGA Tour and whatnot. And so they're doing the same thing with, like, all the new hotshot guys. And, Happy Gilmore needs to come out of retirement and make some money or something. And so he's going to go get on the tour again. And
yeah.
You know, probably win it in the end. So,
yep, probably. It'd be interesting. I don't have anything else on that.
Yeah. What else you got?
Ballerina.
Oh yeah, I briefly watched it. I mean, I've seen the previous trailers, so I didn't watch the newest one.
Yep. Yep, female this trailer for the
John Wick.
New trailer for the basically female John Wick, but yeah, it's supposed to be a spin-off, but John Wick seems to be a main character in this movie, so that's weird.
Yeah, so I think originally he didn't have that big of a role, but I think they might have added, like, I don't know, included him in it a little more. I doubt he's going to have that main role. He's probably just going to be some sort of a mentor figure. And obviously, it's a prequel, so it's in the past because his character's dead in John Wick 4. Spoiler alert. And so I don't know. I'm sure he'll have some kind of mentor role throughout the film. I doubt he'll be in it that much, but maybe they do. I mean, they probably
it kind of would. The way they alluded to it, like it seemed like he was going to be pretty much a main character, but I don't know. We'll see.
Well, yeah, I mean,
you should watch the new trailer. I mean, it's
Yeah.
They really make it seem like he's just going to be in the whole movie.
Okay. Well,
it could be a marketing tactic. I think it's, yeah, to get people to go see it because they're like, well, we're kind of screwed because of the way the world is right now. People aren't really big fans of girl boss movies.
Right.
So we kind of screwed ourselves here. To get people to come watch this, we better make it seem like John Wick is going to be in this whole movie because that's what people want to see. They don't want to see this girl play a seemingly John Wick-esque character.
Mm-hmm. Like, I'm all for expanding the world of John Wick and the whole, you know, secret agency. I can't remember what it's called, but whatever they're called. I'm like fine with that. I mean, there are female agents and are female John Wicks, if you want to call them that, in the other ones, though they're not like they don't play like big prominent roles. Yeah, I don't know. It's just not anything I'm that interested in, even as a fan of John Wick.
So. Yeah, well, that's the problem. Nobody is. Nobody's interested, and that's why they're trying to make it seem like John Wick will be in it.
Yeah, you know John Wick. You like that guy. So
Yeah. Kind of going along this state of Hollywood right now.
Okay, so that's two. A sequel or spinoff. All right.
Yeah.
So do you have anything original?
Sort of, yeah.
Okay.
Elio.
Oh, yeah,
The new Pixar movie. Did you watch the trailer for that?
I did, yes.
Do you see the mom?
Yeah. What?
I don't know if they're... I think they're Mexican. She's very dark-skinned. I don't know what ethnicity she's supposed to be, but she obviously isn't white. She's not white. She's a single mom, and she's in the military. They went all the way and even put her in the military.
Yep.
Are you kidding me?
It's ridiculous.
So dumb. So typical. Retarded. Yeah. It's something else. That movie is gonna be terrible.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's just like it seems like a typical, you know, a kid who longs for adventure. At the beginning of the trailer, I feel like there might have been like a little bit of like father hunger, like he, you know, he's desiring like some sort of father figure with like, and had that one creature that was the father of his new friend or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I was like, okay, there's something that they could do with that for sure,
right?
And they might even have some of that. And it's just like, I don't know, a kid that longs and, you know, dreams for something more, wants, you know, aspires for something, goes on an adventure. And it's just, with Pixar, everything surrounding it, it's, I don't know, it's not anything that's, it doesn't capture me. I don't think it's going to capture even children like, you know, Pixar used to. I'm also sick and tired of the new Pixar animation. All their human characters look the same. You have like Luca and Turning Red and all the, it's just they have this, I don't even know how to describe it. It's just the same animation style.
They're all like really
human characters.
They're like really bubbly. Like it's really round. Like everything's really rounded. It's weird.
Rounded, very rounded, and I don't know. What was it? Soul is another one, I think. I just uninterested. You go back to original Pixar. All the characters in different movies were very unique. They had their own style. You could tell it was Pixar between the different movies, but it was all unique, and they just put a lot more effort into the animation, and they just don't do it anymore.
Right. Yeah, no.
Like, speaking of animation, there was, I don't know where I saw this, but had talked to someone who worked on the original Snow White, and you know, you go back to the original, you know, animated films back, you know, the hand-drawn animation, and there's just something about it that is just compelling. It's magical. There's a beauty to it. There is an artistic touch that we don't really have anymore when it comes to animation, because it actually, you know, came from the hands of artists, and they labored every single shot, every single frame in those animated films was hand drawn by a person, not a computer. It was a human being that had a desire for the project, that loved the characters, that had a passion for what they were doing, and it comes out in the animation. And this guy asked, I think someone who worked on the original Snow White, or knew someone that worked on the original Snow White, I can't remember, but basically said, like, you know, why don't we see animation like that anymore? And the answer was, oh, we literally can't do that anymore. We don't know how they did that. We don't know how they were able to create that. Yes, they understand it was hand-drawn animation, but it was like the skill that it took to do that is no longer existent, because we rely upon computer animation, and animation just has come so far from that point. And so, sorry, it wouldn't have been Snow White. It's like, what, 100 years old, isn't it? No.
What year was it? In the 50s, didn't it?
50s. Never mind. So, yeah. No, Disney.
I want to say the 50s.
Well, the Disney Studios, Walt Disney Studios, is 100 years old. So, yeah, I think it's like 50 or something. But anyways, I don't know who it was. Basically, the conclusion is we can't recreate that. Because, for one, we don't have people passionate enough to do the hard work to create art like that. So anyways,
right.
I say all that. Pixar has just become bland. It doesn't, you know it's a Pixar movie, but it doesn't feel like an original Pixar, like what we had growing up. It's just, it's different. Mm-hmm. It's changed so much, and it's uninspiring and bland, in my opinion.
Yeah.
They will not Elio will not stand the test of time the way that Toy Story has, the way that Bug's Life has. Cars, even Wall-E, it will not last.
Yeah. So. Yeah, even in Wall-E, the fat characters weren't even as round as the new Pixar characters.
I guess maybe there's a little bit of similarity to the animation, but not really. I don't know.
Yeah. It's a really weird thing that they're doing now. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't like it.
But yeah, kind of speaking of Snow White, I mean, we've got some news sort of surrounding that.
Is it the gayest Snow White ever?
I don't know. I'm not seeing it, obviously. Sounds it's like Thursday it is. Night, and nobody's going to see it. Literally nobody. Tonight, and those that are seeing it or
hate watching
opening it. Night. I didn't check tonight. I wanted to check. I forgot to see. Mm-hmm. How many seats actually got sold, but I think I checked last weekend, and there was only like 3 or 4 seats sold for their fan event opening night, you know, like their midnight premiere on Thursday. Literally 3 or 4 seats in the entire room.
Yeah, mine was about the same for all the screenings. It was like,
yeah,
some didn't have any. A couple had 2 or 3 sold for today. I looked like yesterday or 2 days ago. So yeah, not very many.
That's hilarious.
The thing about Snow White is it's interesting because like there are going to be families that are going to take their kids to see a Disney movie, a Snow White movie, just because they're not involved. They're not aware of, you know, what we know and how we have, they don't know about all the Rachel Zegler interviews. They're talking about how, you know, it was weird that the prince stalked Snow White and, like a pervert. And it's like, they're not keen to all that. And so they're going to take their kids to see it just because it's going to make some money. It's not going to make a profit though, because the budget, it's like ballooned at least $250 million, probably more. Doesn't include the budget or the marketing budget, and
right.
It may have 100.
Really bad.
Yeah, it may have. It looks like it's going to probably have $100 million opening weekend. Compare that to Little Mermaid, which had I think 140 or 130 million opening, and that movie went on to actually, you know, make some money, barely, but I think it had like five. It was like 500 or 600 million by the end, or maybe more. I don't know, but it's not looking good for Snow White at all, and the reviews are coming in. So
yeah. The Rotten Tomatoes score is sitting somewhere around 40%.
Right. So let's rewind a little bit. Are you aware of the how they, you know, they canceled the red carpet in the UK. Yeah. But then they limited the red carpet in the US to basically Disney shills. Those that, you know, are gonna watch it and praise it no matter what.
And only photographers.
Yeah.
No.
That work for Disney.
Interviews. Yes. No interviews.
That work
no,
for Disney. Photographers that work for Disney.
Yeah. So bad.
Yeah. And so all the reviews from that showing, from that red carpet, were positive. They're like, oh, everyone was, you know, saying, all the reviews were like, people keep saying it's going to be terrible. Like, no, it was actually really good. It was actually quite spectacular. They're saying things like, she was a supernova. She was so incredible. It was a feast for my eyes, and all these things. And
gay.
So it was getting all these positive reviews surrounding it. And then
vaxxed.
What was that?
You sound vaxxed. All those reviews that you were quoting, they all sound like vaxxed people.
Yeah. Right.
Those are quotes from gay people for sure.
probably. And then the review embargo for those that did get to see it early, I think was closed until like 3 p.m. I think it was Wednesday, which is kind of ridiculous. Usually it's like Monday, Tuesday, they shut down the embargo. You can review the movie and whatnot and put it out there. They tried to go as close as they could to the Thursday release so that, you know, it wasn't a flood of negative reviews. But it ended up being a flood of negative reviews because once that embargo was lifted, everyone hated on it. It was like 40-something percent on Rotten Tomatoes. Say what you will about Rotten Tomatoes, if they're giving a Disney movie a 40%, it's pretty bad.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, if the majority of the critics on Rotten Tomatoes are saying nope, this is not good, then it's probably not good.
Yeah. Yeah.
And from what I've heard and from people that have actually seen it, yes, it is worse than we were expecting as far as the plot, which makes absolutely no sense, the story, the acting, apparently Rachel Zegler is actually not the worst thing about the movie. She's actually decent. She has a really good singing voice. She started on Broadway. She can sing. But that's it. Like, even the acting, I think, is okay. But everything surrounding the movie—the story, the plot, the activist writing, which is so evident in it, the fact that, you know, the prince is actually not a prince in the story. They don't make him a prince. He's just this rebel renegade dirtbag who falls in love with the prince or with the princess, and basically urges her to lead a rebellion against the white fascist queen in order for them to have a socialist utopia, which the queen is preventing them from having. That's basically the story. It's really dumb. And of course the CGI, apparently it just looks awful. Like the colors do not go well together. It looks like garbage. The whole movie looks like it was on green. It was green screened. It looks like there was a lot of reshoots. The dwarves are atrocious, and it it just sounds bad. Which means I kind of want to go see it, but I don't want to spend the money.
Yeah, no.
It'll be on Disney Plus in 3 weeks.
Yeah. Like, actually, or you're just saying?
I don't know. Probably.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. The only other movie that I'm actually kind of interested in is, this is actually another original movie. A Working Man. Did you see the trailer for that?
Is that Statham?
Jason Statham, yeah, and yep. David Harbour.
Yep.
It looks pretty fun. Like, there hasn't been really any, like, original action movies that I'm like, oh, that looks decent. Like,
yeah.
I would say this is, but, I mean, a lot of Jason Statham movies are just, like, ridiculous with horrible stories. So, I guess we'll see.
I feel like the formula is the same for all his movies, though.
Yeah.
He's just like a typical working man.
That's my only concern. Yeah.
Yeah. No, but like that's, but they, it works. They're just fun action movies. You see, they're masculine films. You see a father figure protecting his family, beating up bad guys.
Yeah.
And cracking jokes as he goes.
Yep. And I like the chemistry between him and David Harbour. I think that'll be really fun and cool to watch.
Yeah.
I think they're going to do well in an action movie together. And that's more why I'm excited. I like David Harbour quite a bit in his acting and his
politically he's a piece of crap, but yeah, he's a good actor.
Probably, sure.
I don't want to get into that. I'll see it, you know.
Yeah.
There's nothing this year, you know. There were a couple movies at the beginning that I was like, oh, it was fun to go see, but man, it's been a complete bust this year so far. There's some that I'm looking forward to going forward, a lot of mostly just original stuff that, you know, hopefully is good, but it's just, I don't know. Hollywood's dead.
Yeah.
There's just, and no one's seeing movie. No one's going to see movies.
Yeah. We're kind of at that point where, like, I mean, even like last year, like the movies that ended up being like kind of surprisingly good were movies that you either hadn't heard of or just didn't expect to be good. Like, I mean, one of the best movies of last year was Heretic. I had never even heard of it before it came out. You know, you might have, but I would say a lot of people probably hadn't heard of it before it came out, and then it ended up being one of the best movies. And I think that's kind of where we're at, where there's going to be a lot of independent movies that they don't have the budget to spend tons of money on advertising, and they're just going to trust that, you know, like when their movie comes out, if people like it, like the word's just going to go out. And I think we're kind of at that point where it's kind of just a reliance on independent movies doing well through word of mouth. And then that's where we're going to start to see like some, oh, like, wow, this is a really great movie. Never heard of it. And then it ends up being one of the best movies of the year or something.
Totally. And what's funny is that those are probably going to be the most profitable movies this year are the low budget original idea films that aren't going to be really that well marketed, but people are going to go see, and they're going to make money because those are the movies that people want to see, and it doesn't take much for them to break even and make a profit.
Right. Yeah.
Disney so far, they've, you know, Brave New World, they lost a lot of money on that film, which I had predicted it was going to be $350 to $400 million, and that's pretty much what I think it's gone a little bit over $400 million worldwide, I'm pretty sure, but that's where it stopped, and which means they lost even with the $180 million budget, they lost money on that. But the budget was likely a lot more than that.
Yeah.
And, you know, Snow White, they're, you know, $200-something million. They will lose money on it. There's just, I think there's going to continue to be a lot of very high budget films that are going to be heavily marketed. Like Snow White, I've seen everywhere, and no one's going to see it.
Yeah.
You have a lot of big movies this year. You have Fantastic Four. You have Superman. You have Jurassic World. You have these big blockbuster movies, the summer blockbuster movies. At this point, I'm not sure those movies are going to make much money. Even if they're good, I don't think they're going to be good. But because I've lowered my standards, or I've come to accept that, like, these big studios are incapable of making good movies and telling good stories. Mm-hmm. And will I be surprised by some of it? Some of them, maybe, hopefully, if I lower the bar enough, maybe. But yeah, have you heard? Did you hear about Netflix's movie? Chris Pratt and Millie Bobby Brown.
Oh yeah,
Millie Bobby Brown.
Electric
State. Did you see how big that budget was for that movie?
Yeah, like $350 million.
Yeah, $350 million. Yeah.
Yeah. I watched it, actually.
You did? Oh, okay. Yeah. I want to hear, because I've heard people's opinions on it. I've not seen it. I don't have Netflix. Right. What'd you think of it? Was it any good? $350 million movie. Was it good to buy?
I was surprised that's what the budget was. It seemed like maybe $100 million budget movie. Like,
really?
That's what I would have guessed.
Okay.
Not necessarily that it, like, looked bad. I just don't understand where that money went. Yeah. Like, the CGI was pretty much fine. Some of the bigger shots, like, yeah, sure, like that's obviously CGI.
Mr. Peanut.
But Mr. Peanut was fine. Like, a lot of the robots and stuff, like, when they were, like, interacting and stuff, like, it looked fine. Like, I didn't really have many issues with it. Putting that aside, the budget, it's not an amazing movie, but it's not a terrible movie. Mm-hmm. I feel like I could watch this movie again and enjoy it. I actually did enjoy watching it. There's definitely issues with the story. There's definitely issues with some of the pacing. But honestly, like, I went into it just like, I just wanted to sit down and just enjoy a movie. And I was able to do that. I was able to just enjoy it.
Nice.
Is there issues with it? Yes. Is there the budget ridiculous? Yeah. I don't get the budget at all. Like, it just doesn't seem like that high scale of a movie at all.
Right.
Like, if you compare that to, like, Endgame, you know, like, a similar budget movie, it's like, not even comparable. It makes no sense.
It's odd. I don't know.
So, given that, I think it's enjoyable. I think, you know, you can go and watch it. I'll probably do a mini review. I forgot that I could do mini reviews. I'm gonna do a mini review of it.
Nice. Yeah, do
and
it.
But yeah, just plain simple like that. I guess I'll just leave it at that.
Cool.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's basically kind of what I heard. It's like it's okay. I think I did hear some people hating on it, but I don't remember why. Mm. But anyways, ridiculous budget. It didn't even go to theaters. It was just Netflix.
Yeah.
I don't understand. I don't know where they put that money towards. It's, you know,
yeah.
Chris Pratt.
The fact that it's Netflix, too. Like,
yeah.
You get your money back through the theater. Like, how in the world, like, were they expecting to get back $350 million?
Right.
Through
this was like with
just
Netflix,
like subscriptions or whatever.
They've won the streaming wars. Like they have the most streamers by a lot. They're maintaining their streaming base. they produce ridiculous amount of content. I doubt that they're profitable. I don't know how they could be profitable except for with maybe their ad based stuff and all, you know, with the amount of subscribers they have, maybe, but they're the amount of projects that they pump out is crazy. And yeah,
for sure.
Like, who knows what they're spending on Stranger Things season 5, which is going to be like an hour and a half episode, or every episode's gonna be like an hour and a half long. That's like 8 movies, and
yeah,
they're all gonna release this year. So I don't know. I just, it's kind of strange. I don't understand how they're profitable. Maybe they are. Whatever.
Right.
Disney Plus, on the other hand, they're losing money left and right. Did you hear Apple? I keep wanting to say Apple Plus. I think it's Apple TV, right?
Apple TV.
So they just finished Severance season 2. Have you seen Severance season 1?
I haven't. No.
Oh, okay. I watched season 1. It's decent. I want to watch season 2. I don't have Apple TV, but I'll probably just subscribe for a month and watch it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just another mystery box show that kind of you never really get answers. You just get more and more questions, but we'll see. Mm. Anyways, what I was saying, I think a Deadline released an article that was talking about how Apple TV is losing every year. They are losing about $1 billion, meaning that they're not profitable. They're down $1 billion every year, and it's just that's just wild. Apple, I get it, because they're one of the most profitable companies in the world. They have a lot of money that they can just throw away, and they want to do that with streaming for some reason, so they do. And so it's like they probably don't care a lot, but I mean, you're losing $1 billion every year on this. Like, what's the point? And then you have like Paramount Plus, very few people are subscribed to that. Max has some subscribers, and they don't have very much original. I mean, they have some original content. You know, they just had The Penguin, which was a huge success. And they have, you know, their Game of Thrones, House of the Dragon stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's just streaming is not going to last much longer. Netflix has definitely won out. And no one's going to catch up, I don't think.
Right.
And it's just all these things. It's just Hollywood and music, the movie industry, the TV shows. It's just a whole lot of nothing. You know. And then you have Daredevil Born Again, a TV show that is a reboot or a sequel, whatever you want to call it, of one of the greatest TV shows, I would say, of all time, one of the greatest comic book projects of all time, if not the greatest. And they have failed to get people to watch it. It's been mostly well received, I'd say, mostly well received, somewhat, but no one's seeing it. It's not even breaking the top 10 each week. They have lower views than stuff like Agatha All Along. The Acolyte had less views than The Acolyte for the opening 2 episodes. That no one is going to see it.
That's crazy.
And that's what's like making me wonder. It's like, okay, I think Marvel's done. I don't even think Fantastic Four is going to save them. I don't even know if Secret Wars and Endgame, like, they're making 2 new Avengers movies. Tobias, who are the Avengers right now?
Who knows?
Exactly. It's like no one does.
Yeah. No.
And yet they're going to try to get butts in the seats of the theaters, and I don't think it's going to happen. Even with the success of the past, their past films, I think no one cares anymore. They're uninspiring and people are not interested.
Yeah. Did you watch the 2 latest episodes of Daredevil?
Yeah, I'm all caught up. Did you get caught up?
Yeah. Did you? Has
your opinion changed?
Yeah, I would say I'd go back on most of the things I said about the first 2 episodes.
Okay.
They do have a lot of issues, and I don't think they're good. But the two following episodes, I think they were better than the first two, but still many, many, many issues. Mm-hmm. My goodness. Kingpin's wife, what's her name?
Vanessa.
She is the worst thing, like, ever.
She's pretty insufferable.
Horrible. Like, I cannot stand her in this show.
And she was great in the Daredevil TV show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, it's because she was a submissive...
respectful wife.
Respectful wife. I can't... Yeah, I mean, did they get married in the first...
Yeah, they got married. Three seasons. I don't know, season okay, three yeah. or something. But.
Okay, yes. Yeah, it's still three. Yeah, but... That's why, I mean... And in this, she's just the worst.
I don't want to watch Daredevil and Vanessa go through couples counseling and talk about what you know how terrible Kingpin is because his wife cheated on him.
Mm.
It's like, okay, what? This isn't. No one cares about this. This is the most uninteresting thing you guys could have done with this show, and you went that route.
Yeah,
it's just they made him very effeminate, very weak, and. And I don't know, and I don't know where they're gonna go from here.
Yeah. Well,
it's boring. The show's boring.
Yeah. Well, episode three, the entire episode was a court case,
which was actually probably the most interesting thing we've gotten.
True. Yeah.
I'd say following the White Tigers. Court case. It's like okay, it was interesting, but at the same time, there was a lot of dialogue. They kept telling us things. They kept, they brought in all the people that the White Tiger saved, and they're telling us how great he is. Instead of just showing us, like, why don't you show us scenes of him saving these people and doing heroic things?
Yeah.
Instead,
and
we're gonna
and
put.
I think there was a lot of issues with the dialogue in that episode. I mean. Like when he like revealed that he's the vigilante, and then right after that he's like apologizing, and it's like all like the whole dialogue throughout that whole thing was just so weird and odd, especially for his character. Like it just felt really out of character for me. And then we know how that episode ended, which.
Yeah, the one time he puts his suit on, he gets his brains blown out. Yeah, it's
like, okay. So dumb. And then, let's see, episode four, we got Punisher.
More couples
canceling. Yeah, a lot more couples canceling. That's all Kingpin's character has been in this show is counseling with
trying
his
to
wife.
Run a campaign or trying to gain popularity among the people. And trying to reconcile with his wife.
Yep.
Well, that's all his character is. And control his anger.
Horrible.
Basically.
Like hasn't even run it. Like, his story, it has nothing to do with Daredevil. Like, they only intersected in the first episode. Like,
Daredevil doesn't have anything to do with Daredevil.
Yeah, I know. How'd you feel about Punisher and his character and his interactions with Daredevil?
I don't know. It wasn't much. It's just I thought that scene was fine. There was some tension there, and I liked that Daredevil hit him, and then he apologizes, and then he's like, "No, Red, that's the first honest thing that you've said this whole time," or whatever. So okay, I mean. It's fine. It was good, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's helpful for the for both their characters going forward, is depending on where they go with the character. Obviously, he's wrestling with whether or not he wants to be Daredevil. And he keeps bottling up all these emotions about Foggy and dealing with the loss and his grief, which this is the first time we really got anything related to that. Like anything, he actually... was talking about Foggy and actually opening up about him, which is the first time that we've gotten that. And I feel like it was a little too late. It's like, we should have done this earlier. Yeah. And
well, I don't know. I mean, yeah, maybe too late.
And then he does decide, okay, he's going to be Daredevil. So he, you know, at the end, he gets his nunchucks and does that rooftop scene.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's okay.
Yeah.
Yay. Finally, I guess.
Yeah. Like, I feel like that whole scene with Punisher, like, it was good, but I think I have seen some people thinking it's great, but I think it's only seems great because we've just been, like, it's just been trash up to that point. And it's like the first decent thing, and they're like, oh, this is great. And it's like, not really. I mean, it's all right. It could have been a lot better.
You've been eating garbage. Now here's a McDonald's cheeseburger.
Well, that's, yeah, I don't know if that's a good comparison.
Maybe that's not a good example. Maybe that's not good. I don't know. You're eating a Burger King. I don't know. Maybe Burger King. What's
I don't know. You're eating trash, and now you're eating dog food.
There you go. Let's keep it at that level. That's good. Okay. Yeah. I was trying to give a little more credit, I guess.
Yeah. Maybe another thing, nice canned flavored dog food.
Right. Another thing I realized is that their scenes are so short in this show. Because the writers cannot carry scenes. You look at the original show, almost every scene was a decent length, had actual story progression. Had an arc within the scene, and it lingered on in a compelling way and kept
it built
the suspense.
Yeah,
this one, every scene lasts like a couple minutes, and then they cut to another scene, and they have like a couple lines of dialogue, a few character interactions. And then cut to the next scene. Yeah. And I absolutely cannot stand the reporter like scenes throughout.
Oh my gosh,
like they're
so TikTok influencer.
Every time I don't know.
Literally every time I see it, I'm like, oh, they put this in because the episode wasn't long enough.
Probably.
Every time I see it, that's exactly what I'm like.
It's just getting the public perception of Kingpin and the vigilantes running around. It's like, okay. I don't care, and it just takes me out of the show for one, and
yeah,
it doesn't fit tonally for me at all.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. So it bothers me. It's just like I said, each scene, like even the scene with Daredevil and Punisher, I feel like that could have been a lot longer and been a lot more compelling, and they could have built a little more suspense. But I don't think the writers can carry these scenes.
That's true.
Just don't think they're talented enough to do it. And
yeah,
I don't know. And then all of a sudden he decides he's going to, you know, be Daredevil again.
Yeah. I don't think it should have happened right there. Like if they were going to do what they've been doing, they should have not had him make up his mind yet. It should have been the next episode, maybe halfway through. They needed one more thing to happen, you know, like he finally is like talking about Foggy, and then all of a sudden he's like, okay, I'll be Daredevil again. It doesn't make any sense. You need more, a little bit more in there before he makes that decision.
I mean, yeah,
like there was no time for the debate. Like he has to have that debate. Like if we're talking about story structures, we're talking about a 9-episode thing. He needs a debate, and that debate.
Yeah.
Well, technically, technically should have been moved up a little more, and then he's doing this, and then have him meet Punisher, have him, you know, finally confess it, and then he debates it, then he turns, but it was. Confess, turn, and that there needed to be that debate in there.
Yeah,
for structure wise of how you structure a story, that's how it should have done. But they didn't do that. No. I do want to say, John Bernthal is doing amazing so far. I mean, he's only been in a couple scenes, but
he's only been in one scene, right? Isn't it just the one scene?
Maybe it was. I don't know. Weren't they in like two? I don't remember. Anyway, either way,
were they in more than one? I don't know. I mean, yeah, great. He's great, but like Charlie Cox, even like he's acting.
I feel like he's had before.
I just think the writing and he's dialogue
doing,
is
he's
bad,
doing what but, he can with what he's got, yeah. For sure.
Him and Vincent D'Onofrio are. The two of them are carrying the show. I'm guessing Bernthal, going forward, he's going to be a little more prominent. I'm assuming he's going to carry the show. It's the three
I
of them.
I hope he's in it more.
That's
in
it.
The trailer.
Every
he
supporting
wasn't in
character.
Anymore.
What was that?
In the trailers, John Bernthal wasn't in anymore.
Well,
so that
been,
might be it.
They've been setting
they
it up.
Promised
though,
us,
with the,
they promised
the
us
dirty
Punisher.
Cops.
True. They promised us Punisher. They promised us Foggy. And they promised us Karen. Foggy and Karen, you were right. They were only going to be in the first two episodes.
Yep.
And they were gone. And we're not going to see them anymore.
Well, Karen's going to show up apparently one more time, but that's it.
Yeah, it makes sense. Probably right at the end.
Yeah. Like, I think the before the third act of the season. But yeah. Mm. But yeah, and they've been building up. To Punisher, I'm assuming they're going to do something more with him because of the whole dirty cop things. He's going to come in and tell all these cops that they don't understand what the school stands for.
Because they're doing a Punisher show or movie show, right?
I think it's a special. It's probably going to be like a one or two episode thing.
Okay. Well, so like maybe that's what they were setting up. I could easily see them doing that. Like,
my guess is that he takes on the role of the Punisher, just following the themes of the show with Kingpin and Daredevil, and just that fighting that the devil within. I'm assuming they're gonna do the same thing with Punisher, and he takes up the mantle once again because he's kind of given it. I don't know. Has he given it up? I think so. I think that's what they're implying, and so he'll take up. The mantle again as the Punisher and do his own thing after that.
Right.
My guess.
Yeah. Hmm. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. I'm just kind of bored with it. And I think this is just... because this isn't a huge hit, I think it's evident that Marvel is pretty much done. I don't think people care anymore.
Yeah, no, for sure.
It'll be interesting to see how DC does with Superman. Like, are people going to care enough to go see a Superman movie?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think the whole superhero fatigue is going to affect that for sure.
It's not even fatigue. It's just...
Yeah, it's fatigue of getting so much bad superhero writing.
I guess so much bad and just not anything of substance, anything that that captures the normal audience or the normies out there. It's nothing. The MCU captured a lot of people that didn't care about superhero movies. They didn't care, but they went to go watch these movies, and they learned to care. Or they fell in love with those movies and with those characters and following this 10-year story arc, and they made a lot, sold a lot of tickets, made a lot of money.
Yeah.
But what have we gotten in the last 10 years now? We're coming up. When was Endgame? Was that 18 or 19? I don't even know. I think it was 2019.
19, yeah.
So it's been 6 years.
Yep.
And we've gotten just garbage. Has there been anything that's been of substance except for Guardians of the Galaxy 3, which I thought was really good? That's it, really.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, no. The only thing that could be maybe considered would be by normies would be Spider-Man, but we all know how bad of a story that was, and but that would be like the only thing that normies.
Deadpool and Wolverine, say. Which was a holdover from Fox, a carryover from Fox. It was just a similar to the Spider-Man No Way Home and the Avengers Infinity War and Endgame. It was just a culmination of a decade of storytelling and with Wolverine and Deadpool and coming together. To go on an adventure.
All right. Well, I think it's about time.
I think so. I was going to talk about the Daily Wire for a second, but we can save that for another time. Just kind of see where things unfold with the Daily Wire. But
We can save that for next week.
Yeah.
There'll probably be a little more that unfolds by then.
Probably.
Yeah. I'll go and close this out.
All right.
Well, everybody, thank you guys for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode. We hope you are considering these movies that you're watching and consuming and the content that you're taking in. And just remember to glorify God and watch good movies. We're out. Bye.
See ya.